Welcome to Day 18 of My Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Tustin, California at Hidden with Christ Ministries. I want to, first of all, before we begin our reading for today, simply give a parental warning. Today's chapters deal with some subjects of wickedness that if I was the parent of small children, I would not be reading these chapters to those children for simply the reason that the questions that will arise may be questions that you don't want to answer at this time in a child's life. We know that as a child becomes older, we have to talk about certain things in life, like wicked things that people do, to explain the things that we need to avoid and stay away from and be aware of. But when a child's very young, it's not something that needs to be done. And in fact, you need to protect children from certain subjects until they're more mature and able to handle it. So if you have young children, I would not be reading this to them at that time. So make a wise decision in that area, parents. And perhaps go and read the chapters for yourself before you play this broadcast so you can determine whether it's appropriate or not. So, with that said, we are going to launch into a few of the most, in my opinion, saddest Bible chapters. And I say that for the reason that they show us the wickedness of men and how when a person who maybe has not engaged in that type of wickedness is exposed to it or allows it to be around them for a period of time, it will cause that individual to lower his standards perhaps and then allow things that should not in their home and allow their children to be exposed to certain things. It's a very sad, sad chapter because the results end up affecting the children in this story, and it's just tragic. But anyway, with that said, we're going to read Genesis 19, 20, and 21 today. We are reading from the New American Standard Bible version this week, and we start at Genesis 19, verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, however, "No, but we shall spend the night in the square." Yet he urged them strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may have relations with them." But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with a man. Please, let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Stand aside." Furthermore, they said, "This one came in as an alien, and already he's acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them." So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. They struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. Then the two men said to Lot, "Whom else have you here? A son-in-law? And your sons and your daughters and whomever you have in the city, bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place, because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, and said, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he appeared to his sons-in-law to be jesting. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he hesitated. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. When they had brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords, now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there. Is it not small? That my life may be saved." He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore the name of that town was called Zoar. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now Abraham arose early in the morning and went to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace. Thus it came about, when God destroyed the cities of the valley, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, and when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. Lot went up from Zoar and stayed in the mountains, and his two daughters with him, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. And he stayed in a cave, he and his two daughters. Then the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and let us lie with him that we may preserve our family through our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. On the following day, the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father." So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. As for the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the sons of Ammon to this day. Chapter 20. Now Abraham journeyed from there toward the land of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. Then he sojourned in Gerar. Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is married." Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, will you slay a nation even though blameless? Did he not himself say to me, 'She's my sister,' and she herself said, 'He's my brother'? In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this, and I also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours." So Abimelech arose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were greatly frightened. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you, that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What have you encountered that you have done this thing?" Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely, there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she actually is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came about, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, 'This is the kindness which you will show to me everywhere we go. Say of me, he is my brother.'" Abimelech then took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham and restored his wife Sarah to him. Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is before you. Settle wherever you please." To Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, it is your vindication before all who are with you, and before all men you are cleared." Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maid so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Chapter 21. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said to Abraham, "Drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. For through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was used up, she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away, for she said, "Do not let me see the boy die." And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. God was with the lad, and he grew, and he lived in the wilderness and became an archer. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Now it came about at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring or with my posterity, but according to the kindness that I have shown to you, you shall show to me and to the land in which you have sojourned. Abraham said, I swear it. But Abraham complained to Abimelech because of the well of water which the servants of Abimelech had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor did I hear of it until today. Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. Then Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Abimelech said to Abraham, What do these 7 ewe lambs mean, which you have set by themselves? He said, You shall take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, so that it may be a witness to me that I dug this well. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because there the two of them took an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, arose and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistine for many days. This is the end of today's reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. Well, as I said before we began our reading today, that I find these chapters, and specifically chapter 19 and through the end of chapter 19, some of the saddest scripture passages in the entire Bible, for the reason that we are exposed here to the absolute vileness and baseness of mankind when there's no God in the picture and people are simply left to themselves and wickedness is prospering. We begin by hearing of the two angels that came to Sodom. And we know in the previous chapter that Abraham had 3 visitors, one being the Lord himself and 2 angels with him. And they were on their way to Sodom to see if the outcry about the wickedness of those two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, was as bad as the Lord thought. And if it was going to be so, they were going to be destroyed by the Lord as a judgment because of the wickedness and violence that was in those cities. And we see here the angels have arrived in Sodom in the evening while Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And in Middle Eastern area in the times of Abraham, those who sat in the gate were usually those who were in some leadership position, magistrate type position, judge, doing judgments of, disputes between people, that sort of thing. It's also a place where people would gather to just communicate, fellowship, hang out, we would say, talk together, and even do business. So Lot could have been there for a number of reasons, but he was sitting at the gate of Sodom, and being of Middle Eastern background, it was very common for people in that day to invite strangers into their home, to host them, to open their home for hospitality, to bless strangers that were passing through. And Lot was prepared to do exactly that. And he encouraged these two men who were really angels to come in, stay overnight, refresh themselves before they went on their journey. And that was not an uncommon thing to do. Possibly it was very uncommon in Sodom, but it was the style for which Abraham and Lot and those of their families were raised. And it was sort of a solemn oath to be a good host and to protect those who came under your roof. So we see here that he strongly urges the two angels, who he thinks are men, to come to his house, and he's going to feed them and bless them and let them sleep overnight at his home, when he is suddenly confronted with the wickedness of the city. And in fact, it's now that the angels truly see that the cry, the outcry of wickedness, really was all that it was cracked up to be, so to speak, because these men come to the door of Lot's home demanding that the angels, that they don't know are angels, of course, be given to them so that they can do wicked things with them. They are sodomites, homosexuals, who are going to forcibly assault the two guests that have come under Lot's roof, or at least that's what their intention is. And it is these next few verses that are as disturbing as it could be, when we find Lot saying, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly." So first of all, he knows that what they're proposing is wicked. He has at least that level of morality still left. Not a lot, as we see by his next statement, but he has that much. He's trying to hold the line there. And he doesn't want his guests to be attacked. As I said earlier, it's a solemn, they're bound by a solemn oath to keep their guests and protect their guests. In fact, even at the cost of their own life, it was that much of a sacred duty. But we see that Lot doesn't offer himself up in place of his guests. And that's where I say the man has fallen deeply into some level of influence of the sin of the area, because what does he do? In the very next verse, first he tells them don't act wickedly, and then in the next verse he says, "Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with man. Let me bring them to you and do to them whatever you like." Well, first of all, he knows these men are absolutely wicked, intending to, and again, I hope you don't have your small children nearby, gang rape the guests, and now he proposes to give his daughters for the same purpose. This shows you that Lot has absolutely sunken to a very low state, obviously, from having lived among these wicked people. He's been influenced by them. He's trying to hold some line, but he doesn't even have, his heart is so cold at this point that he would give up his own daughters. He's not offering himself to be attacked by these men to protect his daughters and his guests. He's going to throw his daughters to the wolves, which shows you that there's a coldness of heart that has come into his life. That is, for us in our day, seems beyond understanding. And yet, Bible scholars will tell you that entertaining guests is such a solemn and serious thing, and that they are so duty-bound to protect them, that they're even to give their own life. Well, as I said, he wasn't offering his own life. He was going to offer literally the lives of his daughters to be destroyed by wicked men, instead of, as a father, protecting his precious daughters from the wickedness these men wanted to perpetrate. But again, we see the amazing mercy of God. Obviously, Lot is not in any way as wicked as these men, but he's not exactly at the level of what you would call a truly righteous man. He'd be willing to give up his own daughters for these wicked men. And so yet God himself is still going to protect Lot. And we know from the next chapter why that is. It says in the following chapter that the Lord remembered Abraham, and so he protected Lot for his sake, which is very interesting. And because of Abraham, in verse 27 of chapter 19, Abraham rose early in the morning, went to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward the land. He wanted to know if his prayers had been answered because he kept interceding. Remember, asking, well, what if there's 50 righteous, or 40, or 30, or 20, and he only gets down to 10. Well, there were not 10 righteous people in that city, so they were destroyed as God had promised. But it says in the last verse, or in verse 29, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. So we see God's mercy. God literally responded to the prayer of intercession of a righteous man, Abraham, for a not so righteous man, Lot, and it wasn't because for Lot's sake that God saved Lot. It was for Abraham's sake, because of the prayers. Do you know that your prayers can be that powerful with God for your unrighteous relatives or friends? God can spare and deliver and set free and protect, even if they're not walking with God as they should. Like Lot was not walking with God as he should. He had gone and camped in the middle of one of the most wicked cities on the entire planet at that time. God wasn't pleased with that. That was not the Lord's will. He went and did that and exposed his family to continuous wickedness by doing so. And now we get to a subject that is the primary one that I want to address today. Do you realize that it is the responsibility of parents to protect their children from exposure to wickedness and to teach them the ways of righteousness? And we live in such a wicked generation that there is a very large amount of information out there on the internet, all that, describing in detail wicked things people are doing. And yet it is not God's will for children to be exposed to those sorts of things. The television programs that are being produced today that are filled with detail of violence and crimes and criminal activity and criminal behavior and just wicked things being perpetrated one person against another, that is not the type of material that you should allow your children to be exposed to. You have to protect them, or it will affect them. It'll affect their spirits. It'll affect their minds. It'll affect their hearts. In fact, the scripture tells us, this is very profound to me, and to me this proves what happened to Lot. Lot allowed himself to be in the company of very wicked people, and as a result, his children to be in the company of very wicked people. In fact, we know that they were engaged. The two daughters of Lot were engaged to be married to two young men who were from Sodom. So they were going to intermarry into this wicked culture. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, something very profound. It says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character," or other translation, "bad company ruins good morals." I love this translation the best. It says, "Do not be fooled. If good people keep company with bad people, the good people will become bad too." And it begins by saying, don't be fooled, don't be misled, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. It ruins good intentions. It corrupts good character. I like this one from the New Living Version. It says, "Do not let anyone fool you. Bad people can make those who want to live good become bad." This is exactly what happened in Lot's life. He wasn't trying to be a bad person. I think he probably moved to Sodom for financial reasons, for opportunities in business because it was a very highly populated area. Not only was it very fertile land, that valley, but there was lots of opportunity to sell his cattle, to do business and all of that. So I'm sure that he probably moved there for financial reasons, for a financial advantage. He didn't ask the Lord which way he should go. If you recall the story, he just looked, and with his eyes he chose. When you look with your eyes and not through prayer to make a decision, you will make a wrong decision, as Lot did. Then it says he moved his tent and camped right there in Sodom. He was probably planning to move his tent outside and just do business with those people, but we find by this point in chapter 19 he had a house inside the city. It was no longer a tent. There was a house with a door. They're trying to break down his door, so we know it. He's not living in a tent anymore. He had just full-on taken up residence in the midst of the most wicked city on the planet, a city that had become so wicked and vile and a stench in the nostrils of God that it made the Lord want to destroy it completely. And only because of the grace of God and the intercession of his uncle Abraham, God protected Lot. Lot would have been caught with the destruction of that city just because he was there. But we can see that the corruption of his character took place to the point where he did not even have enough heart to protect his daughters. Instead, he was going to throw them to the wolves in this scenario in chapter 19. It's just beyond belief. But he only gets worse. When the angels finally convince him to get out of there, and barely convince him, he's resisting it. And yet God has told Lot and his wife and two daughters through the mouths of these angels, the Lord is going to destroy this city. Get up and get out of here, or you'll be swept away in the punishment of the city. The scripture says he hesitated. So the men, the angels, actually had to grab his hand, his wife's hand, his daughter's hands, and for the compassion of the Lord was upon him. The Lord was having mercy on him and brought him out and put him outside the city. And they instructed him, escape for your life. Do not look behind you. Now here comes tragedy number two in this story. The first one was that Lot was willing to sacrifice his daughters. The second one is, he has given a direct instruction from the Lord, escape for your life. Do not look behind you and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. And then he starts arguing about where he's going to go and all of that, which is just ludicrous. And when the Lord gives you a direction, don't argue with God. You don't have a better idea. None of us will ever have a better idea than God. And I have seen people argue with the will of God to absolutely, of course, no avail, but instead to their own destruction. Either they waited too long to obey, and then they missed the opportunity, or they talked themselves out of it. Even though they had been given a word from the Lord and they knew it, they talked themselves out of it. And the results were disastrous. And in this case, they barely escape. They get out of the town. And now the Lord is about to rain fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah as a judgment on that city for its wickedness. And it's interesting, I will simply say this, that archaeologists who have done extensive research in the area that was formerly Sodom and Gomorrah have come to the conclusion that there was definitely a very highly populated cities in that area at one point, and that it was suddenly destroyed in some cataclysmic event, and that some sort of brimstone and fire type of scenario occurred, whether that was an eruption of a volcano erupting and covering the entire area with lava, which could explain this scene that we have read about, or whatever, but that there's a complete destruction of the cities in one cataclysmic event, and that what was formerly Sodom and Gomorrah appears to be underneath the Dead Sea at this time, and that when they dig down in the layers, they can see that there was a city below, and then there's layers and layers of what could be essentially sulfur type particles, and it had destroyed the city. So we see archaeological confirmation of what the scriptures talk about here. So we see, as here's the scene, Lot and his wife and his two daughters are fleeing out of the city because of the angel. They literally dragged them by the hand, got them out, and told them, keep going and do not look back. That was the solemn order. Do not look back. But what happens? Tragedy number two, Lot's wife. What was the reason that she disobeyed that very strict command? Do not look behind you. That was the command. Escape for your life. Do not look behind you. And we find these very sad words. Lot's wife, who was behind him, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Obviously, if she was covered with the whatever this spray of sulfur and brimstone and fire, and she was covered, and the now in that area, there's pillars of salt all around that area, and many have been called Lot's wife. But the point is that this woman, why did she look back? And it's real picture of considering what you said you were leaving. You want to leave the lifestyle of the world. You want to follow God's word, follow his command, follow his way, move on with God. Be very careful you don't look back with longing for what you used to have or what your life used to be like, with a desire to return. Maybe she was thinking about all her stuff that she left behind. The scripture seems to intimate it was something like that, because it's quoted in the New Testament. Even Jesus referred to Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back wishing you were back where you used to be in the old days. Don't do that. Just press on with God. It's a very dangerous thing to be double-minded. We're warned by the scriptures, don't be double-minded. And that is what we see here in Lot's wife. She obeyed, but then she changed her mind. She looked back. Maybe she wished she didn't leave all her stuff in her house, and maybe she was going to run back and get something. And that was a disaster for her and a tragedy for the whole family. So now we find Lot and his two daughters, and they are afraid to stay in this little town that the angel gave him permission only because he begged. And instead, they finally obeyed the Lord and went up to the mountains, and they found a cave. And there were a lot of people that lived in caves in those days. They would find a cave that was they could make habitable, and he began to stay in that cave with his two daughters. And the next few verses are among the most tragic in scripture. Again, what we're about to hear is a result of a father and a mother that allowed their children to be exposed to wickedness. Bad company corrupts good morals, good intentions, good ethics. Bad people can make those who want to live good become bad. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company ruins good morals. Associating with bad people influences you in the most negative way. And I've heard many people, oh, well, I'll hang out with these people and I'll influence them for good. Well, unless you are sent by God, that's probably not the greatest idea. It should be like that, but we have to be very careful. Evil associations, bad company, all bad friends, bad communication, all of it can ruin, corrupt, destroy or pervert somebody's sense of morality. And that is exactly what happened here. And this is so sad. The daughters of Lot, who obviously were close to they were of the age where they could be married because they were engaged to some men in the town of Sodom. We know that they were exposed to what They lived in a culture that was sexually perverted. That's first and foremost reality. We live in a culture that is sexually perverted. It is consumed with subjects of everything from commercials to television programs to reading material to music that is just infused with perverted subjects about sex. And we know that this obviously was something that these girls were exposed to by living in that culture. And obviously their father as well was very affected by it, to the point where he would give his daughters to be raped by these men. He was willing to do that. They didn't even want them because they were so bent on attacking other men. But that's another subject. But the point is, the effect of bad company, environment, culture, exposed to ideas and exposed to images that are perverted and not according to the Word of God, affects a person. That's why you have to guard your eyes. You have to guard your ears. You have to be very careful what you watch on TV or look at on the internet. All of that. You have to be very careful if you're a parent, what you allow your children to be exposed to. And I warn you to be very watchful where you ever let them go to someone else's house. Do you know what kind of TV they watch at that house? Do you know what the father looks at on the internet? Do you have any idea what the condition of the other family members is morally, spiritually? Do you want your children exposed to that or potentially violated by that kind of person with an unclean spirit? You don't want that, of course. None of us do. But we have to make decisions every day about protecting our children from the effects of other people who do not walk with God. Obviously, Lot did not protect his daughters from exposure to perversion, because we find in the last 8 verses of the 19th chapter of Genesis that these two girls cooked up a very wicked idea. And the idea was that they were so despondent now their potential husbands were destroyed in Sodom. They were killed in the mass fire and brimstone destruction that came on the city. So they have no more husbands. And as far as they're concerned, they don't know who they would ever marry or if anyone would ever marry them. So they decided, they hatched a plot together, these two girls, and said, well, let's just sleep with our father. We'll make him drunk, because they obviously knew he wasn't going to agree to this, or they wouldn't have had to make him drunk. So they knew that about Lot, that he wouldn't agree to incest as a way to allow the girls to have children. But they cooked this plot up themselves and became impregnated by their father in a drunken state. And it says that both daughters of Lot were with child by their father. What a tragic statement. Lot becomes debased by his own daughters. It's just wickedness. Incest is a sin that is as wicked as any. And it says that the younger bore a son who was the father of the sons of Ammon or the Ammonites, and the elder sister bore a son. She named him Moab, and he was the father of the Moabites. And I mention this because historically, those two groups of people, the Moabites and the Ammonites, became deadly enemies against Abraham's offspring. So we find historical wars that took place over down the generations between the Israelites and the Ammonites and the Moabites, and there was always trying to kill each other. And the results of this incestuous relationship that occurred here wrought generational disaster and destruction, all because a father and a mother did not protect their children by, first of all, not moving into the center of wickedness. They literally took up residence there, allowing them to be exposed to this wicked culture and not protecting them from it. So it affected their minds and their hearts, and they never knew God. And so they did not grow up with any moral standards or godly standards. And this is the story of tragic parental failure. This story of Lot and his daughters. And that's all I'm going to talk about today, because I feel it's such a somber and sobering subject for all of us who are parents and grandparents, that we have a responsibility to pray, to protect, to be wise, to be watchful, and to raise up our children and grandchildren in a way that honors the Lord and teaches them the ways of the Lord. Otherwise, we will see increasing disaster and tragic family situations like we see here with Lot. So let's be wise. We live in a wicked generation. We live in a very unclean generation where perversion is so commonplace, and what is said on TV in a sitcom is just perverse so often that we cannot allow that to be the fuel or the food of the ears of our children. Be wise in this. Take a stand and say, I'm not going to let you be polluted by what the world is spitting out here. Let's choose to look on things that are clean and clear and righteous in the eyes of God, and not be polluted by the things of the world. So I just present this as a challenge to all of you to pray for wisdom in your parenting and in your own life, so that you're not allowing your heart to be hardened through the sins of other people that you observe with your eyes on TV or the internet or in books and music. So just consider these things. It's the word of the Lord, and I believe these stories are in the Bible for our warning, because God takes this type of sin so very seriously that he literally destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah at that time. And we live in a generation that's not unlike that time. And Jesus said that when he returns, it's going to be like the days of Noah, when the Lord destroyed the earth because of similar wickedness, or the days of Lot. So let's be serious about this and say, Lord, help us be wise and only look at and allow our children to look at things that are pleasing to the Lord. God bless you. Have a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.